How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you're tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 23. We left off in verse number 13. Jesus has been taken by the leaders of the Jews to Pilate, and he has initially questioned him. And then because of Pilate knowing that Jesus was a Galilean, having lived in Nazareth and then Capernaum, he sent him over to Herod. Herod had desired to see Jesus for a long, long time. And questioned Jesus, but Jesus didn't answer anything at all. And so we left off last time where the scripture says that Pilate and Herod were made friends together. They'd been haters of one another before. They'd been at enmity, but now they're made great friends because of this, of Jesus. And I that's a sad thing, that they having hated one another and had this, dislike of one another, were made friends by virtue of the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ and he being before them in judgment. It's just all out of sorts because Jesus is innocent. And they both are wicked men. It says in verse number 13, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him." So Pilate makes this declaration that he finds no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ and does not understand why he's been brought to him. And no, verse number 15, "No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." And so he, even at Herod's examination, there's nothing worthy of death. "I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And so evidently it had become custom that the Romans had, at this time at Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, they had released a prisoner, a Jewish prisoner, unto the people as a respite, and maybe even an honoring, an attempt at honoring the Passover, and just offered this nicety into the nation. And so evidently that had become the custom. Verse 18, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city," in Jerusalem, "and for murder was cast into prison." And we know also in the other gospels that he was, Barabbas had been a leader in insurrection there in the city. Someone had been killed. He had murdered someone, it was thought. And he was a thief. He was a robber, the scripture says. And so now they have cried, "Crucify this man, Jesus." and release into us a insurrectionist, a murderer, and a thief. And, you know, that's so typical of what's the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the fulfilling of his gospel, is that insurrectionists, thwarters of governments, thieves and murderers are set free by the captive, the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that is not guilty of anything, is the one that has suffered for sinners, for his people's sins. And so we see here that Barabbas represents us. We who are saved, and those who will be saved. He represents us. And so Pilate, verse number 20, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them, verse 22, the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him for sedition and murder, was cast into prison, that is Barabbas, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. We know in other accounts in the Gospels that they leveraged Pilate. They declared and said that Jesus had made himself a king, which is true. Which is true, and it was evidenced at the triumphant entry of the Lord into Jerusalem. He is king. But they declared and claimed that their loyalty, and there was only one king, and that's Caesar. And so where normally they would totally abhor Caesar and what he stood for and what the Romans did and stood for, they so hated Jesus, they so hated the Lord Jesus Christ, that they claimed Caesar against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that is so such a telling affair, that the enemy that they hated and the Jews hated, and it's the reason for part of the reason for this insurrection that has, and so many of them had come, and the Jews would roil up against the Romans and their rule over them. Jerusalem and Judea was a very difficult place to govern, and that's the reason that Pilate had been sitting there, is because the previous governor was unsuccessful, and so Pilate is sent to try to get this people under control. They never do to their satisfaction, and that's the reason that Titus, the general Titus, is sent in 70 AD and destroys Jerusalem, destroys the city, because of the difficulty that they have controlling Israel and the Jews that are there in that region. And so they leverage Pilate with he not being a friend of Caesar if he allows Jesus to live. And historically, we understand Pilate is in a bad shape politically. He's had not good success in his governorships, and now he's sent to the most difficult place of Jerusalem and Judea, and so he caves to their will, and that's what it says here. He delivered Jesus to their will. Here we see a fine case of a leader submitting to popular and public opinion, rather than what was right and what he knew was right. rather than what the Gospels tell us his wife had recommended to him, having had a dream regarding Jesus and told her just to take him and send him away. Don't touch him. Don't do anything to him. He didn't. He caved and gave into popular opinion. And as the scripture says in verse 25 of Luke 23, he delivered Jesus to their will. The guilty go free, Barabbas, and the innocent is going to be crucified. Verse 26. And as they led him, Jesus, away, they laid hold upon one, Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now, I just want to speak for a moment about this, and it's sad, and it has an amusing element about it. It speaks to us about the so very impressionableness, how impressionable people are. There have been movies made about this, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a depiction of the suffering and of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these Hollywood depictions, they show Jesus unable to bear under his cross and falling. And from that, in the depiction in the movies, they show this of getting Simon to carry the Lord Jesus' cross because he's just too weak and too unable to do so. And that pervades even the people of the Lord and the people of our country and even of some of the world that have seen those things. That image and that thinking that was a fact just violates us. It gets in us. The thing is Simon is called to carry the cross of the Lord. I don't believe, and the scripture does not bear it out, you'll not find at all where Jesus fell under the weight of the cross and was unable to bear it. But they called Simon to carry the Lord Jesus' cross as part of the mocking of the Lord Jesus Christ being a king. Why should a king carry his own cross? There is an element here that it could be that these Romans and this centurion were sympathetic to the condition of the Lord Jesus Christ. He not falling under the weight of the cross and not able to bear it, but he carrying his people's sins and this the weight of this betrayal and him suffering alone and all that. Not that they understood anything about that doctrinally and to the ultimate truth of it, but seeing this man being in such a shape as he was because the Lord Jesus in his body bore the sins of his people, and that had the greatest impact upon him. So maybe they called Simon from a sympathetic standpoint. But I believe if you would make me choose, I would believe that it would be a part of the mockery. The Lord Jesus Christ, the innocent, suffering so for sinners' sins, while sinners, by what he has done, can go free through repentance of their sins before God and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel that he's fulfilled. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek.
We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.